Gears a little bit. We are speaking about the purpose of the Mishkan as we begin the next bunch of parshios, which really Truma Tetzaveh. We'll speak about the relationship of Kisisa of Yaakov today. We're going to begin Sefer Vayikra and talk about some of the Karbanos. We're shifting as far as our relationship, as far as what's going on in Chumash, to much more of a focus to the world of Mikdash. And I thought it would be appropriate today to talk about the purpose and function of the Mishkan. There are really a couple different ways of viewing this. One is to sort of look at the sugya from the perspective of almost like a lamdasha perspective. A lot of it's going to be the same armakomas if you do it there, machlokas in the Ram and the Ramban. There are some nafkaminas as far as the status of the kelim and the mikdash. We're going to focus on it a bit more from the perspective of Teres HaMachshava to try and develop, I guess, three main mahalchim to the purpose of the Mishkan. What exactly is going on? Why are we being commanded to have a Mishkan? What role does it exactly serve? And that we'll see a couple of a little bit of a range of ideas. The Torah in the beginning of the six parts tells us V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti besocham k'chol asher ani mareh uscha establish a Mishkan. We have a command in this week's parasha to build a Mishkan. Now, at least in Chazal, this is true for most Rishonim, whatever we're going to say about the tzivoy of the Mishkan is going to be true about the Mikdash also. Obviously, there are certain things unique to the Mishkan, certain things to the structure of the Mishkan that were somewhat unique to that generation. But much of what we talk about when we speak about the Mishkan and its role in the Midbar, we're also referring to when we speak about the Mikdash and its role in the Makam HaMikdash. So let's try and develop, again, three main mahalchim, although the first mahal is going to sort of divide into a couple of different sections. The first mahalach understands as follows. This is something that Rashi points out in his Perush al-Chumash, in a couple of places, which Chazal embrace also. And that is that maybe the entire notion of a Mishkan is a b'dieved notion. That the way Rashi understands in Muktam Muchar Torah, Aliba de Emes, it's tzivoy for the Mishkan. Parshios, Truma, Tetzaveh, and the like, only were really commanded after Chet HaEgel. Pre-Chet HaEgel, there was never going to be, on some level, a notion of a Mishkan. It was because Klal Yisrael sinned at Chet HaEgel that somehow something shifted, something changed, and it became necessary for us to have a Mishkan. Why? What exactly is the pshat in this sort of a b'dieved, mitzias? Only as a result of Chet HaEgel did we have a Mishkan. What role does the Mishkan play? So here you have a couple different ways of saying it. If you look in Rashi, in Shmos Lamed Ches Chaf Aleph, Rashi understands that the purpose of the Mishkan, it is Eidus LiYisrael Sheviter LaMagash Baruch Hu Al Maisa Ega Shehishra Shechinaso Beinehem. What the Mikdash or the Mishkan accomplishes, it is a proof that we have been forgiven for our sins. When you look at Mishkan, when you look at the Mikdash, we are reminded of the fact, despite that our sins in Chet HaEgel, we have been forgiven, that things are now much better. If you look in the Sifri, in source number 4, it's a little bit different. It's not Eidus that we were forgiven, but rather it's as a result of the Mishkan that we are now going to be forgiven. Not a sign that Kadosh Baruch Hu forgave us. It is through the Avoda of Mishkan that we achieve a kapara for the sin of Chet HaEgel, as the Sifri says, Ibn Yahya Omer, of the Yisrael of Odezara, Harehim Chayav and Kliya Yavu Zav Mishkan V'Yichapar Al Zav Egel. That really, as a result of Chet HaEgel, which Chazal here at least referred to as Avodazara, like we saw a couple weeks ago, the Rashi and many understand that Chet HaEgel was a Chet Avodazara. So we should have been destroyed. It's dafka through the Mishkan that we achieve forgiveness. Dafka through the Mishkan that we achieve forgiveness. And one sort of final idea in this sort of a campus, the B'dieved, that's the Kuzari. Yehuda Levi has a very, I think, powerful idea. It's one that relates, again, a little bit to what we spoke about in Chet HaEgel. And that's the following. One of the things that Chet HaEgel showed was that Klal Yisrael needed physical manifestations of Ribono Shel Olam. We needed something physical. It was too abstract. They're just worshiping Hashem without having something physical there. So it becomes very, very challenging to worship Hashem, especially if you're dealing with people with a nation that are brought up in with a certain connection to Avodah Zarah, which, again, we've spoken about in the past, the Bnei Yisrael, Mitzrayim, the Pesukim, and Sefer Yecheskel. We're over the Avodah Zarah, whatever that means. And as a result, it becomes very challenging to not have that physical thing to worship. We spoke about it a couple weeks ago as far as the Pizetzner B'nei Machshava Tova, the notion that tefillah becomes very hard, in that tefillah, there's nothing really there directly in front of us. If the Ribbono Shel Olam Kiviyachol was standing in front of us in a way that we could see it, so our tefillah would probably be a very different tefillah. One of the great challenges we have in davening, and one of the great challenges we have in Avodas Hashem in general, is that we're worshiping a God, as the Rambam tells us, that doesn't have a body. And a God that doesn't have a body, and a God that you can't see, and a God that we're not hearing from consistently, is a very challenging God to worship. It's something which is hard. And one of the things which the Mishkan had the ability to do for us was to give us that place that we could really worship, that physical location. That is the first general mahalach. The Mishkan, some sort of a b'dieved mitzias. The Mishkan is a result of Chet HaEgel, either the sign that we were forgiven, or that which allows us to be forgiven, or just it brought an additional form, an additional kind of an avoda that we seem to have needed as a result. That is the first general mahalach. Yeah.
The difference between that and the people that we don't worship the eagle as but that we use it as a...
Okay, so the major difference may be Tzivoy of Hashem. At the Kuzari. Okay. The major difference may have been that God commanded one and not the other.
So it's a little interesting.
Exactly. It becomes much more about who dictates the rules of Avodas Hashem, which has implications for certain ideas in terms of Hasidus as far as like Avoda Begashmias and the worship of the Ribbono Shel Olam that's outside of formal Tzivuyim. But that's sort of... That is the idea.
Especially if that's coming...
Exactly. Okay. If you look in the Rambam, you see something else. And the Rambam understands, Pshuto k'mashmo, I imagine the way that many of us understand it. And this is true, the Rambam, in a variety of places, in Sefer Mitzvos, in Mishneh Torah, and it relates to some well-known comments of the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. And that's the following. The Rambam writes, HaMitzvah HaEsrim Hishu Tivanu Livnos Beis Avoda. The Mishkan and the Mikdash is primarily a place where we are to perform Avoda. What is avoda in that context? Avoda is hakarbanos, the avodas that we are commanded to perform in the mikdash. The Rambam writes similarly in the beginning of Hilchos Beis Avichira. The Rambam Hilchos Malachim sounds a little bit different. The Rav and Igros HaGrit has a long piece about that, but we'll work with this for now. The Rambam Beis Avichira mitzvah asay laasos bayis lashem muchan lihios makrivim bo karbanos v'chogin alav shalosh pa'amim bashana v'chulei. But the purpose of it is, it's a place where we can worship Hashem, we can fulfill mitzvos there, you can go, you know, aliyah l'regel when it comes to the mikdash. Primarily it's there as a base avoda, lios makriv and boa karbanos. That's all it really is. That's all it really is for the Rambam. Now, one sort of nafgamina that's going to emerge from this, the Rambam thinks all of the psukim in this week's parsha that deal with the kelim in the Mishkan, the aron, the shulchan, the menorah, etc., get counted as part of one mitzvah called mikdash. They don't get counted separately in the list of tariq mitzvos because there's one mitzvah. That one mitzvah is to build the beis avoda. To build the beis avoda means I have to build the actual bayis. I also have to build the kelim as part of that bayis. If I want to worship the Ribbono Shel Olam in the mikdash, I have to also have a shulchan, I have to also have a menorah, I have to also have a mizbeach. The status of Aron is unique for the Rambam. We're not talking about that at all for now. But that's a general kind of a view. That's how the Rambam learns it. That's why Rav Shechter points out in source number 10 that when we were, in order to make them kadosh, in order to bring kedusha to these kelim, you have to do meshicha, you have to meshicha with Hashem and HaMishcha. One of the things that we do is we anoint them with oil, the kelim. They all become kadosh at the same time. They have to all become kadosh together because it's all about creating one base avoda, and it has to all be that at one shot, I've now created a place for me to be able to worship the Ribbono Shel Olam. So at one time, I've created all the kelim, that bayis together. I've now created in one shot that base avoda. So the Rambam, on the one hand, the Rambam is the simplest shot, but I think he raises a very important question. The simple, again, I need a place to worship Hashem, and so many mitzvos and so many tzivuyim can only be fulfilled in the mikdash. Why do we need a beis avoda? That's where it gets a little bit more complicated. Why do you need a beis avoda? what is so significant? We have so many tzivuyim. You can be mekayim mitzvos everywhere. You can be mekayim mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz. You can be mekayim mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael. You can be mekayim so much. We don't have a mikdash, and we still have a lot of avoda. If you're a real believer in the notion of, you know, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, so what exactly is going on with the need of a specific base avoda that's going to be found in the mikdash? So here the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, some of us know this idea from his general pshat in Karbanos. How extreme this is, we're going to limit in a second. But the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that the purpose of Karbanos, and by extension, the Rambam seems to write that this is what part of the Mikdash is doing, is that Klal Yisrael is a nation that's very much influenced by pagan forms of worship and by worships of Avodah Zarah. The Rambam in Ta'ameh HaMitzvos understands, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim in a couple of different places understands, that part of the purpose of certain mitzvos is to wean us off of, to separate us from certain Avodah Zarah types of worship. So the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, and that's the purpose of Karbanos. The purpose of Karbanos is that was something that was done by Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And it was a way of channeling and separating us from Avodah Zarah to be able to worship Hashem in a much more standard way. A lot of Rishonim don't like this pshat in the Rambam at all. The Ramban argues very strongly, we'll see in a little bit, as do some others. Some try to redefine and re-explain the Rambam. It's a very wild idea. The whole notion of Karbanos, or the notion of this base avoda, is really there to sort of bring Klal Yisrael from a place that they were at, a certain influence of Avodah Zarah, to bring them to a place where they could worship Hashem more directly and more strongly. That's a very sort of a strange idea. So let me just say a couple of things about this Rambam I think that are important. One, we do have to understand in the history of Klal Yisrael, a lot of what's going on in Yetzias Mitzrayim, a lot of what's going on in Klal Yisrael in general, is we're trying to bring Klal Yisrael to a higher place. A lot of the purpose of mitzvot, as we spoke about Tameh HaMitzvot, is to elevate Klal Yisrael. In order to elevate Klal Yisrael, the purpose of mitzvot is that we're supposed to emerge higher quality people. For the Rambam, mitzvot, they improve our midos. Mitzvot improve our intellect. A person who's Mekayim mitzvot, says the Rambam, is supposed to be an elevated and transformed individual. Not the one that we spoke about yesterday, which is Mekayim mitzvot, lacking that li lishmi, lacking that component of appreciating the function of what they're doing. But the Rambam understands that elements of so much of the mitzvot are supposed to elevate us. In order to elevate us, so you have to understand, so where exactly are mitzvot, where's Klal Yisrael? Where's Klal Yisrael at as we're trying to elevate them? As we're trying to build Klal Yisrael, where are they coming from? So part of the process of elevating Klal Yisrael demands an appreciation for where they are at. It's like lahavdil, any good mechanech, all good chinach demands knowing where the guys are at in order to then elevate them. If you don't know where the room is at, so how do I know the messages I'm supposed to give over, or the level that you're supposed to teach at? Sometimes a great challenge in chinuch, if any of us, you know, go there, or public speaking in general, is that where's the crowd at? How are you supposed to go into a room? In America, as you go from like school to school, so once in a while in the schools, so most of the time I'm there, I'm just giving bechinas. Once in a while, you're filling in, you're teaching us, you're giving shiur in a school. If you don't know exactly where the school is at, or the level of the people, it's so hard to do that. How am I supposed to be able to come in and suddenly effectively give a shiur, not knowing how good are they with, am I supposed to translate certain terms they know? Are they have some exposure to the world of lamdas or no exposure to the world of lamdas? A nafkamina is something which they've heard of before, or they're less familiar with, or the figures that you're quoting, they've heard of a chidush harim or haven't heard of a chidush harim. They've heard of certain ideas. So it's a big challenge. So part of, again, kviyachol, lahavdil, the Ribono Shel Olam, as bringing and elevating up Klal Yisrael, especially in the Mikdash, but also in Eretz Yisrael when they're related with the Mikdash, has to do with understanding where they're at and trying to elevate them as a result. That's one sort of element of where the Rambam's coming from. Now, the Rambam is not going as extreme as some would like him to go. What the Rambam is not saying is as follows, and this is an important qualification for the 99.9% of Achronim. What the Rambam is not saying, this is a Mor Nevuchim idea. In Mishneh Torah, we have no hints of this idea. The Rambam is not saying that Klal Yisrael will eventually, let's say, like Asid Lavo, we're going to get to the point where we're not bringing karbanos. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah, it's pretty clear. The Rambam appears to believe that we are going to continue to worship and continue to offer karbanos even at later times also. So how much do you want to attribute, you know, what the Rambam explains in Mor Nevuchim as the only function of Mikdash, or a function that's there forever? It's pretty clear it's not going to go away later. Who's the person that thinks that the karbanos are going to go away later? Rav Kook. Now, whether Rav Kook really believes it the way it's often said is very complicated. Rav Kook has a lot of passages about it. The most famous one is that Rav Kook in his Siddur points out that we say at the Kiddush Shmoneh Esrei, Rav Hashem Minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, commit that we refer, what's the carbon that we say we're going to want to refer to in later times? The carbon mincha, which is a carbon, which is a flower offering, not a carbon of animals. That the Rav Kook's medayik from that end of Shmoneh Esrei, that we're only going to bring, not going to bring animals later on. Now, some of this stuff is really wild. Rav Kook himself, in some of the places, thinks that Mashiach time, we're going to bring karbanos. We're talking about way later, when animals are going to achieve a certain kind of intellect later on, like as times really get later, and at that time it's going to be inappropriate. I think Rav Kook may even have a line that animals themselves are going to achieve the Madrega, that they are going to offer themselves on top of the Mizbeach maybe at some point. This is a very wild Rav Kook kind of an idea. The standard mahalach for the Rambam, and even Rav Kook, as far as the initial times of the eras of Mashiach, I don't think I've ever spoken about like what happens really sort of like La'asid Lavo. We don't know. Different Rishonim talking about what happens La'asid Lavo. There are different tkufas. La'asid Lavo is the end game Tchias HaMesim, is the end game of purely spiritual existence, different stages of end of days. But the initial, you know, offering karbanos, that's something which is relatively clear. What we've seen so far is as follows. We're setting the stage a little bit for the Ramban. We've seen those that view it as much more of a sort of a b'di'evid reality. Chet ha'egel is what caused it. That's either a function of seeing and needing a more physical thing, needing tshuva, sign that we were forgiven, or the Rambam that we require a base avoda. Talking about a little bit what the purpose of that avoda really is for the Rambam. That's all sort of setting the stage for a bit more of a focus on the shita of the Ramban. The Ramban shita is interesting. I think it is thought-provoking. It's well known. Its implications are very important. Yes?
How do we understand the relationship between the Mishkan and the Mikdash? You know, it was already promised from Abraham. So, like, if Korbanot were already a thing that was already going to happen, then how could it be the relationship between...
Okay. Okay. And somehow it's also a question between even the Mishkan and the Mikdash. It's also a question of just, again, like you're saying it before, the pre-Avodah. A lot of that, if we ever speak about Karbanos, if we have a week on Karbanos, we'll relate to that much more. How the Rambam's idea sort of plays out pre and post the Tivuyim. Sounds like they're valuable beforehand, sounds like they're valuable even afterwards, and how that works. We'll potentially get there. We may get there. I assume we'll get there. Do it next week if we even want. Okay. Maybe it would be appropriate as like a part two of Karbanos. Okay, the Ramban. The Ramban is very different, and the Ramban is very important. The first is that the Ramban, this Perish Al Torah and Shmos Lamed Hey Aleph, argues with Rashi. The Ramban reads our Pesukim Kipshuto, the Tzivoy of the Mishkan and the Tzivoy of, you know, Mikdash also, those are ideas that exist pre-Teta Ego. This is not a B'dievet phenomenon, this is a Lichadchila idea called Mikdash. The Lichadchila idea called Mikdash. Again, at the end we'll speak about two or three implications that I think are very important, even some practical, Derech Avoda. But the Ramban understands that it is Lichadchila. What is the purpose? What are we trying to accomplish by building a Mishkan? So some of this is very well known. It's a very important Ramban in the beginning of this Parsha. Shmos Chaf Hei Beis, a little bit of a long Ramban, a very important one. The Ramban understands the purpose of Mishkan, not a sign that we did Shuvah. It is not a place for Avoda primarily, though certainly Avoda is done there. For the Ramban, it is a place for Hashra'as Hashchina. What we are constructing when we build a Mishkan is a place where there is a heightened sense of God's presence, the divine presence, Hashra'as Hashchina. L'chein tziva tzchila dvar mishkan sh'yelo bayis besocha mekudash l'shmo, like v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti besocha. That becomes the goal, and the function is Hashra'as Hashchina. That is what we are trying to do. V'hinei ikar achevet v'mishkan, says the Ramban a couple of things. It's about Hashra'as Hashchina. What brings Hashra'as Hashchina? Ikar achevet v'mishkan hu makom menuchas Hashchina, shehu ha'aron. The Aron becomes so critical for the Ramban because the Aron is the place that's what brings Shechina. What's in the Aron? Luchos Ha'ed. It's all about the Luchos found in the Aram. That's what brings a certain connection of Shechina. We'll elaborate this a little bit. But that is the primary function, a place of heightened divine presence. Says the Ramban, he goes further. This is a very, very famous and important Ramban. V'sod ha-mishkan hu. This is the connection of Yisro, Mishpatim, to the world of Tshuma Tetzaveh. V'sod ha-mishkan hu. What does the Mishkan accomplish? She ha-kavod asher shachin al-har Sinai, shokin alav benister. The revealed Shechina that was there at Har Sinai, that becomes the hidden Shechina, the hidden Shechina that we find in the Mishkan. It is, the Mishkan is, for the Ramban, the continuation of Maimed Har Sinai. Maimed Har Sinai did not just exist at one time period. Maimed Har Sinai, for the Ramban, and the Ramban more than most Rishonim, we'll see in a little bit, continues throughout the Mishkan. We are maintaining Har Sinai. That's why the Ramban says, the Ribbono Shel Olam's Dibor with Moshe takes place primarily in the Mishkan, the same way it took place in Har Sinai. The place of heightened Kedusha is where the Ribbono Shel Olam interacts with man in a more intense way. So we're interacting with man more in the time of Har Sinai. We're interacting with man more in the time of Mishkan. That's the place where it's going to occur. So that's where a lot of the Hashras HaShechina is going to be. It is, again, the continuation of Matan Torah. He says, "Uvamistakel yafa b'ksuvim and emar Matan Torah u'mevim ha'shakshadnu b'hem yavin soda mishkan u'beis ha'mikdash." If you want to understand what is Mishkan, what is Mikdash, you have to understand why there was a Maimon Har Sinai and what Maimon Har Sinai was all about. Now, the Ramban is the reason, look at verse number 13. The Ramban is the Rishon, unlike the Rambam and many others who thinks there's an Isser d'Oraisa to ever forget Maimon Har Sinai. The Ramban understands that Maimon Har Sinai is so critical and so important that a person has to make sure that they are... It's us to forget, to always remember. The Ramban understands in the Pirshah of Torah, you have to remember it also. If our custom bazel v'da'ati mitzvahs lo saseh, it's took him in Sefer Dvarim. Why am I supposed to remember it? So the Ramban writes, because upeirus atam ki Hashem asa hamaymen ahu is a tilmadu liyira oso kohayamim v'sbeneichem tlamdun ladoros olam imkin asa atem kachav atishkachu oso. That part of the purpose of really falling apart. Part of the purpose of the Mishkan of Har Sinai, part of the purpose of our, that's the study before falling apart. Part of the purpose of Har Sinai becomes a place of heightened Hashras HaShechina, becomes a place where the Ribbono Shel Olam interacts with us. It becomes a place also where, that was good, social pickup. It's also a place where we experience, like Har Sinai, more Yiras Hamayim. When you're there, Yiras HaMikdash, when you're there, you are just experiencing that, a certain kind of awe of being in the presence of the Shechina. Awe of being in the presence of the Shechina, like Maimon Har Sinai, so too, just by Maimon Har Sinai, there are a lot of parallels in the Pesukim. Just like by Maimon Har Sinai, there are levels of where you can and where you can't go. You can't go all the way up Maimon Har Sinai at Shas Matan Torah. You also can't go wherever you want in the Mishkan. There are boundaries here. We're in a certain sense of Hashras HaShechina, Ace Ochlahu, a certain amount of awe. It's like, a good way of Rabbi David from Torah Shraga said over that when he asked Rav Lichtenstein about going on to Har Abayas. So big shilas about going on to Har Abayas. The opinion of the vast majority of poskim is that we do not go on to Har Abayas. So when he asked Rav Aaron about why he doesn't go on to Har Abayas, it's a good story. He asked him a couple of different times. But Rav Aaron said, I think, at the end of the day, Mikdash Tira, I'm scared of Makom HaMikdash. How can a person feel comfortable just now going up to Makom HaMikdash? A certain kind of yira that a person has just being around that intense kind of Hashras HaShechina, certain kind of fear. It's something which is very, very serious. That's one of the ideas of the Mikdash. It's a place where there's heightened Hashras HaShechina. And because there's heightened Hashras HaShechina, that becomes a place where their bones are interacting with. Nevuah takes place there, Moshe Rabbeinu. That also becomes a place where we're going to have certain boundaries and we're supposed to be inspired for a certain kind of Yerushalayim. Now, this Ramban idea dovetails, I think is the word, very nicely with a famous Medrash that is very famous, especially in Chassidus in general, but especially in the Torah's Chassidus of Chabad. It's a Medrash Tanchuma, the Siva Shalom quotes the Parsha, and Parsha Chuma discussing the Mikdash, and that is that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. That's a major shaila in the world of Machshava, and probably, I assume, all religion, why God created the world. It's a pretty important one. Now, not all Baalei Machshava are bothered by it, but why God created the world is a major shaila. The Ramchal, in the beginning of Maseilas Yesharim, the Ramchal in Derech Hashem, the Ramchal has one mahalach as to why Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, that the Nefesh HaChai, you have different mahalachim as far as why the world's created. The Rav and the Lach Man talks about what the Medrash says, and Chabad is very into this idea. This Avelokesh Baruch Hu had a taiva for a dira b'tachtonim, a place to live down here, a place to live down here. Now, as the way it goes in Chabad, you know, how can Akash Baruch Hu have taivas? We don't ask kashas on taivas. There are a lot of different ways that it's an important idea in Chabad Chassidus, what exactly that means. But that the Mikdash serves in many ways as God's dira in this world is something which is a very powerful idea. This is where the Ribbono Shel Olam is Shorah His Shechina in this world. Now, the fact that Hashem has a Shechina, which is Shorah in this world, is an idea which, again, in Chassidus and Siva Shalom's parsha talks about it very beautifully. That it's part of the idea of us being able to appreciate that Avodas Hashem does not demand leaving this world. Avodas Hashem is in this world. That within an Olam Hazeh, there can be a Hasharas Hashkina. That within this world, if I want to find Hashem, I don't have to leave this world and go up. I can find Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. I can find Hashem Dafka here. That's one of the places. And again, a very powerful idea as far as Hasharas Hashkina that takes place. Because Baruch Hu is Dira. If you look in the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, when they explain some of the Kalim in the Mikdash, there's a nafkamina here. If you're a Rambam person, the purpose of a Shulchan, and this is more subtle when you learn the sugyas of the Kalim in the Mikdash, but has an oversimplification. If you're a real Rambam person, the purpose of all the Kalim in the Mikdash is in order to have what to worship God with. I have to have a Shulchan so I can perform the Avodah of Lechem HaPanim. I have to have a menorah so I can perform the avodah of hadlakas haMenorah. That's why I have to have the kalim there. And some of the Rishonim, and it's strange when you see it. You know why you have to have a menorah? Because it's a dira, and a dira needs light. It's a question of it's not always about avodah. It's about creating a bias for Hashem. And the way some Rishonim say it, that the Ribbono Shel Olam's bias should not be of any lower quality than our bias. That if our bias is built nicely with light and the likes, the Ribbono Shel Olam's bias should also have that. Now, what the purpose of that is not so much for now. But what we see there is a different kind of an idea. And the Achronim or Choker is a different Kalim, or the Kalim there is different than the bias, the Kalim there is different than the Avodah, or Bar Yalev Malin has that. It's a real sort of, it's good lumdas. But as far as Machshava goes, what we're trying to build in Parsha's Truma is a bias for Hashem. And a lot of the Kalim contribute. A lot of the Kalim are part of building that kind of a bias. We've seen so far three Mahalachim. I want to discuss two real implications of these ideas. Again, some of them I think direct as far as Avodah goes. But one Mahalach, it's all B'dieved because of Chet HaEgel. It's an idea of showing that we got Tshuva, a physical manifestation. We saw that the Rambam is a base Avodah. The Ramban is a place for Hasharas HaShechina. And for the Ramban, it's about remembering Maimon Har Sinai. Maimon Har Sinai for the Ramban is very important to always remember. It inspires Yerushalayim. It gives us certain boundaries. The psukim sound very similar. It's about that's where their bones was going to interact with us. Let's talk about just a couple of two implications. Our Metzias nowadays, we do not have a Mikdash. We don't have a Mikdash. In a certain sense, we're losing that sign. We don't have that sign that their bones shalom, you know, that Eidus Yisrael, we were forgiven for certain Averas. Adrabah, the Metzias of Chorban, Chazal understand, Chorban is a Raya that we are not worthy of it. Chorban, if the flip side of Rashi, if the Mishkan was a Raya that we were forgiven for Chet HaEgel. So the state of Chorban is a raya that we are not worthy of it. Let's talk about this Metzias of Chorban, absent a Mikdash, and why that would be. I want to share with you a very beautiful idea. If you're a Ramban person, so I'll add one piece to the Ramban. If you're a Ramban person, Chorban is because we are not worthy for this act of Hashra'as Hashchina. The Ramban writes in his Hagdama, the Sefer Vayikra, that the purpose of, says the Ramban, it relates to the Ramban Hagdama, Sefer Shmos, but Sefer Agalos, Vageula, but the Ramban writes, why are we offering karbanos there? It's a place of Hashra'as Hashchina. What's the purpose of karbanos there? So the Ramban writes that part of the purpose of karbanos is ensuring that we are worthy to have the Shechina still with us, to get kapara through karbanos, so Shechina remains. For the Ramban, the Metzias of Chorban, we're not worthy of that Hashra'as Hashchina, and therefore we sit here as unable to do it. For the Ramban, maybe that's also part of it. It's a base avoda, but it's a certain kind of an avoda. If we're not zocha, Chorban Abai, we're not zocha for it, that we can maybe preach it a little bit. But Rabbanimus once asked, it's a beautiful insight. Take the Yehuda Levi type idea. Klal Yisrael, why do we need a mikdash? I think it's a beautiful insight. Why do we need a mikdash? Says Yehuda Levi as follows, Kuzari. We needed a physical thing for Avoda. Avoda wasn't working without something physical. Avoda wasn't working if we didn't have something to look at, something to touch. So what Chorban makes no sense. Klal Yisrael messed up. If we messed up, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam do? Took away the one thing we needed that would help us in our avoda. What was the problem? We're worshiping Hashem poorly. So you're going to destroy the mikdash, taking away our physical thing that gives us a better form of avoda? We're not worthy of it. Okay, give us some other punishment. Why are you taking away the mikdash? The mikdash is the most important thing for our avoda. You want to worship Hashem. How much better would our avoda be if when we went to Yerushalayim we saw a mikdash there? How much better? We're not zocha. Fine, I get that. But if it's a way of strengthening avoda, if it's a way of giving us a better avoda Hashem, so Ribbono Shel Olam, you're going to take away what we need to worship Hashem better. You're going to take away the makam hamikdash. Don't we need that to worship Hashem well? Now we're like doubly messed over. We sinned. We're not zocha to it. And now we don't even have the help of a mikdash. We don't even have the help of a mikdash in order to facilitate a better form of avoda. So what's the avoda of a world post-mikdash? So he suggested, again, I think based on Nefesh HaChayim, a very beautiful idea. Sometimes there's a danger in having mikdash also. The danger in having a mikdash, and the danger that Klal Yisrael fell into, and this is true in certain psukim and navi, is a very shallow form of an avoda. Is an avoda that becomes purely physical. An avoda that becomes going here and bringing a karban and thinking that you're going to be covered even if it's into tshuva. It involves going to the makam mikdash and offering, again, certain karbanos or performing certain avodas and thinking that's all I have to do. Part of the problem and part of what generated karban was the thought that just going to mikdash and offering karbanos was good enough. We lost some of that internal avoda. We lost some of that deep sense of tshuva that's necessary, deep sense of a relationship and a commitment to Ribbono Shel Olam that we lost. That's one of the things that was goring Korban Habayis. So Ribbono Shel Olam said, I have to take away that physical. I have to take away that base on mikdash. Not because, even though in general it's helpful for your avoda, where Klal Yisrael was at, it's not what we needed. We needed, oddly enough, for us to really improve, we needed to take that away, and now all we have is us standing before Ribbono Shel Olam. We have no more excuses of saying, we'll just bring karbanos, that's going to cover it for us. If we want to get closer and we want to improve, it's kokulo on us. It's kokulo about us cultivating a certain form of avoda. We don't have that same possibility. Yeah.
It's possible that since we don't have the same Yitzhar of Rabbi Zaris, we don't necessarily need a mikdash.
Another way, so that becomes very dangerous in that we're davening for a mikdash every day.
I assume when we'll come back, we'll have that Yitzhar.
So we'll have to, okay. That's it. Can we keep that idea for when we speak about maybe next week, karbanos? Let's keep that idea for karbanos, because that's more about the karbanos that connect to Rabbi Zaris, so we'll speak about that hopefully. Karbanos also lava. We'll get, yeah, we'll talk about it. Let me talk about one other implication. The Makar in Chumash for the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash is this week's parsha of Asuvim Mikdash for Shachranti Besocha. We don't have a Mishkan, we don't have a Mikdash. The Zohar holds, and the post can point this out, Asuvim Mikdash for Shachranti Besocha is also the Makar for Edin de Oraisa, the way the Zohar learns it, of Binyan Beis HaKnesses. Binyan Beis HaKnesses. We may not have a Mikdash that can do many of these things for us, but we have the capacity to create a Beis HaKnesses, maybe even a Doraisa idea. The Urayim thinks that may have a Doraisa status of Binyan Beis. It's what Chazal referred to in the Gemara Megillah as a Mikdash Ma'at. What is that Beis HaKnesses there to accomplish? It's a Mikdash Ma'at. Let's talk about two ideas that Beis HaMikdash is there, or three ideas. The Mikdash is here, a shul is here to accomplish. We sometimes take it for granted in that we spend a lot of time in the shul. Let's talk about three. If you're a Rambam person, Mikdash is based Avodah. Shul as Mikdash Ma'at, it's a place for Avodas Hashem. A shul is a place that is set aside for real Avodas Hashem. To remind ourselves before we enter shul that we're entering a place that is miyuad, it is separated for real Avodah. We're not supposed to be doing other things there. It's not about, you know, again, there may be certain social elements, a lot of that stuff may be taking place outside of shul. When you walk into a real Beis HaKnesses, that is a Beis Avodah. That is what I am geared to, that's what I'm supposed to accomplish when I walk into shul. Sometimes just reminding ourselves of that's what a shul really is. A Mikdash Ma'at, it's a Beis Avodah. It's a place for, maybe not Avodas HaKarbanos, but Avodas HaTefillah, and Avodas HaTefillah is modeled after Avodas HaKarbanos. That's what we're doing in the shul. That's one insight. For the Ramban, one of the things that we are sort of attaining when we walk into shul, it's a place of a heightened sense of Ashra'as HaShechina. It's very hard in life, if everything, to feel that sometimes, to go through and to recognize a certain sort of, a place where there's more Shechina. Part of shul, this is why we're davening there. We're a bit closer to Hashem. Hashem we always have access to, but there's a certain kind of closeness that we have as we enter into a Beis HaKnesses. As we enter in, right now I'm walking in, to appreciate it a little bit. This is a place of greater Shra'as HaShechina. Maybe it impacts what we do and what we don't do in shul. Certainly it impacts our experience. I would say especially our tefillah. Our tefillah. Not just a place set aside for tefillah. It's a place where tefillah is a bit more effective. It's a place where there's a heightened sense of Shechina, and that's very chashuv. And the last idea that a shul accomplished for us is back to this Rabbi Yehuda Levi idea, the Kuzari idea. It is very helpful for our own Avodas Hashem for there to be physical structures and physical places that we associate more directly with Avodas Hashem. It's one of the great things when you I'll tell you, learn at a yeshiva for a long time and you come back to your Beis Medrash. When you walk into that Beis Medrash where you learn so many hours, sometimes it has that, it reminds you of something. It's a physical place that just gets you going a little bit to cultivate that kind of a relationship. It's not, Avodas Hashem is tricky because it's a Ribbono Shel Olam that we can't see. It's a Hashem that doesn't have a body. But one of the things that we do is that we build structures and we build places of a lot of Kedusha. And those are places where when we walk in, we experience that Shechina much more. We experience that presence in a much more intense way. Let's chazer, and I'll end with one short nekuda. We spoke about three mahalchim as far as the purpose of Mishkan. What are we reading about in this week's parsha? What are we waiting for when we speak about a mikdash? Waiting for a place, post-cheda egel, a certain kind of avoda, a certain sign of tshuva. We're looking for a base avoda. We want to worship Hashem in a more intense way. We want to be mekayim all mitzvos, avos hakarbanos. Or it's a place of a heightened sense of Ashra'as HaShechina. We spoke about some of the implications of Zman Chorban. We spoke about as far as what it means to have a Beis HaKnesses. Let me just end with the following. Sri De'esh points out, Sri De'esh in Bava Metzia points out, I was focused with Akiva about a month ago. Sri De'esh points out that specifically in Chutz La'aretz, this idea becomes so much more important. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a heightened sense of Kedusha everywhere. That's Kedusha Haaretz. Sri De'esh points out, again, in Kedusha in Bava Metzia, that in Chutz La'aretz especially, to appreciate the significance of Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, Kedusha Beis HaMedrash, that it's so much more important in places that are not everything's Kadosh, that the Karka is not Kadosh, Adarabba. We assume, so Kedusha Beis Nazir, but Kedusha Beis Gidin, Tumas Eretz HaAmen, there's a certain Tumah almost in the land. Part of what allows us to establish in Chutz Laaretz, the way that we bring Kedusha in is by building a Beis Knesset and by building a Beis HaMedrash. That to have places that are set aside for us, Rosh Hashchina, to have places that are set aside for Avodah, becomes so important as far as our long time Rosh Hashem. That's true also as practically as we shift in life in general. To have places that are set aside for davening and set aside for learning. To have places where you just feel a natural sort of a hargasha of I'm raising my game a little bit. I'm just a little bit more advanced as far as where my avoda exactly is. That is something which can be exceptionally, exceptionally valuable. We are learning about the Mishkan this parsha. It should be hopefully some of the lima of this parsha should be true lemaisa as we daven that we have the opportunity to perform the avoda and to live in a world where the aro and the shulchan menorah are all present. Shkaya, guys, have a wonderful Shabbat.